Hello, I'm Doug Nadvornik, pleased to bring you the first official installment of the Inland Journal, Spokane Public Radio's new weekly half-hour public affairs program. It's been a treat to walk through Riverfront Park the last week or so and hear the power of Mother Nature. With all the water in our region right now, the chance of a wildfire starting and gaining traction somewhere is pretty remote. But the memories of the severe wildfire seasons of 2014 and 2015, speaking of the power of Mother Nature, are still fresh in the minds of Washington elected leaders. Last week, Governor Jay Inslee, Lands Commissioner Hillary Franz, and a few others met with Spokane landowners like Bonnie Cobb. They wanted to see the work these folks had done to keep their homes and property safe from wildfire.
This is one of our most successful firewise communities because we married great local leadership like Bonnie with a few dollars from the state and from the federal government. Great things can happen when you leverage all that mutual effort.
Lands Commissioner Franz says Washington has more than 140 firewise neighborhoods with a request in the state budget for $1 million to help another 80 get started.
We're making significant progress, and again, when I say we, I mean the agency certainly is a key factor in help in providing that funding, resourcing means, but the homegrown part of getting communities engaging on the ground in their own community, how to make themselves more resilient, has been so helpful.
It's that idea, making land more resistant to wildfires, that's driving support for two forest health bills that are moving through the Washington legislature. The bills are sponsored by two eastern Washington legislators, Wenatchee Republican Senator Brad Hawkins and Okanagan County Republican Representative Joel Kretz. But even urban legislators, such as Democratic Representative Larry Springer, have signed on. Springer's district includes the East Side Seattle suburbs, but he has personal reasons for supporting the bills. About 50 years ago, he, his father, and brother built a cabin between Lake Wenatchee and Leavenworth that's still in the family.
My family has faced evacuations twice from our cabin near those fires. And it occurs to us that this is going to be a syndrome that we're going to face for years to come. We cannot continue to come down here to Olympia year after year and write bigger and bigger checks in order to put out fires. We need to build forests that are resilient.
The wildfire policy advisor for the Department of Natural Resources says the state has, over the last 6 years, spent $400 million to battle wildfires, but only $20 million to prevent them.
We need a shift in thinking when it comes to wildfire, a shift from being reactive about wildfire to being proactive.
Senator Brad Hawkins' bill aims to treat 1 million acres of forests during the next 6 years. That means cutting trees when the density makes them susceptible to quickly moving fires. It means prescribed burns to clear out fuel. It means creating fire breaks that can stop fires from spreading. And it means keeping track of the work that's done. Representative Kretz's legislation directs the Department of Natural Resources to identify forested state trust lands that are most in need of treatment over the next generation. It would require 2-year and 6-year project lists.
This is an attempt to get a little bit more strategic in how we're doing it. We've got millions of acres that need treatment. A lot of them are extremely unhealthy, and we're trying to get looking out a little bit further into the future on how do we plan that. And then with it on a schedule, I think we've got a little bit more accountability on the back end so the legislature sees what we're getting for the buck.
Both bills have moved through their houses of origin without dissenting votes. Hawkins' bill was voted out of a House committee today. Kretz's bill has received a hearing in a Senate committee. Both say their bills are complementary, not competitive with each other. And now we're joined on the phone by Joel Kretz, who cites two examples of what he considers best practices in protecting land from fire.
You know, I think the best example on the state of what we should be doing is the Sinlahiken Wildlife Refuge. And they have had an active thinning and prescribed burn program for about 15 years. And I actually took a fellow legislator out there right after the Okanagan complex in 2015. It was still smoking, and you drive through about 15 miles of moonscape, and you get out there and you can see where the fires came down the canyon, crowning out, taking everything, and then they hit that refuge where the forest has been properly treated, and it drops down to the ground and everything's green. So a lot of it's education. We've got to move toward that model, and I'll just give you one other real-life example. in 2015, Okanagan Complex, I started getting calls from people that were upset that, you know, the fire was coming, and they put in a fire line up Aeneas Valley, and their houses were in between the line and the fire, and they were worried. And I went down and talked to the incident commander, and he said, okay, so here's the deal. We know those houses are there. We'll get structure people out there and try and save them if it comes. But this is an area where we put the line that had thinning done. It was a joint effort between the feds, the state, and private landowners where they had thinned a long belt of forest land and thinned it out and then done some prescribed burning. He said it's the only place in that whole country we can stop a fire, that we've got any chance without losing firefighters or just wasting our time because the forest has been treated. So I'm just pushing toward that model. And part of this bill is, you know, let's be strategic. You know, we need to identify the biggest benefit for the buck on treating forest land. But we also have to be thinking about putting those barriers in. You know, typically the model has been you try and keep them out of the town and then it burns all the way to the next town. Well, why don't we stop it somewhere in between if we can? And that's kind of the push on this bill is let's get those strategic areas mapped out and try and do it on a kind of an effort with bringing different landowners in to where we can get, say, a quarter mile wide band, you know, going 30, 40 miles that would strategically stop a fire.
How is your bill different from Senator Hawkins' bill?
Well, Senator Hawkins' bill is a little broader. Mine is focused on our state forests, and his cover is private, state, and federal, which is actually it's good timing. We just signed a good neighbor agreement with the Forest Service recently. The DNR did so. He's got a broader landscape that he's looking at. Probably the biggest difference is that I've got a revolving fund built into mine to where they can accept money from the state, the feds, an NGO, whoever, to get it rolling, and then it revolves. They go out and treat acres, and if there's revenue that comes off it, some of these areas they're going to actually make some money on. It goes back into the fund, and then it goes right back out, and we can do more acres, kind of a self-perpetuating program.
So you're not constantly having to go back to Olympia and say, I need some more money from my
exactly.
program.
Exactly. Yeah, we're trying to self-fund it a little bit.
One of the unusual things about this legislation is that it has no real opposition. Listen to the people who have testified in favor of the two bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, Jason Callahan from the Washington Forest Protection Association, signing in pro on this bill.
My name is Matt Comiskey. I'm the Washington manager for American Forest Resource Council.
Those are names you would expect to hear supporting this bill. These you might be surprised by.
Mitch Friedman. I direct Conservation Northwest out of Seattle.
For the record, my name is Scott Richards. I'm testifying on behalf of the Nature Conservancy.
So one of the things I've noticed, and having covered forest issues for 20 or 25 years, is that in past years, the environmental groups would complain that, hey, you're going to go out there and you're going to cut trees, but it's just an excuse to go out and cut trees. And I just don't get the sense that that's the argument this year. Why do you think you've had the consensus from conservation groups this year?
Well, I've worked with them. I think the Nature Conservancy is a good example. You know, I mean, they were in a big acquisition mode for many, many years. They're huge landowners now, and they're watching it all burn up or just stand there in poor health and be at risk. And they've actually been great partners on this. But you hit it. I mean, the fear has always been it's just an excuse to go logging. And it's been education. I mean, I had that tour of the Sinlahican. I had Hans Dunshee, West Side legislator, who's got probably a pretty good tree hugger sort of a reputation. But seeing's believing. You know, when you see a landscape that looks like the moon and then you walk into this area that has been treated, it looks good, it looks healthy. You can see that the focus is on forest health and not just an excuse for logging. And you know, I think they've also seen the model of whatever we're doing now is not working. I was in the timber industry it's, you know, I've considered those people my mortal enemies for 30 years, but there's we're getting some common ground, and I'm kind of encouraged that they're looking at it a different way now.
Joel Kretz is a Republican representative in Washington's 7th Legislative District. He's the prime sponsor of one of two forest health bills moving through the legislature. Our thanks to TVW for the sound in this story.